Lord, give us wisdom before we speak, understanding while we listen, sensitivity towards those we meet, and the perspective of your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. Noah trusted. Stephen trusted. Jesus calls us to trust in God and also in him. Our lives depend on trust. From the moment we are born, we have trust in parents and others for our own survival. As inquisitive children, we have to trust in adults to guide us safely through our explorations of the world around us. As we gradually grow into independence, we have to continue to trust in carers, teachers, and others to guide us through the complexities of this ever-changing world. As young adults, we also have to trust ourselves to make decisions which are suitable to our God-given gifts and our personal well-being, as many young people will be doing now as they prepare to leave the relative security of school. As adults, the need to trust in others does not diminish. We trust in those closest to us to be loyal and loving. We trust each time we venture out by private car or public transport, trusting that ourselves or those responsible will get us safely to our destinations. As we age and our health begins to fail, we trust in the medical profession to diagnose and treat our conditions effectively. Towards the end of our life, we trust in others for our daily well-being increases as our physical and mental capacity decreases. Throughout the journey of life, trust and trusting are with us. They are necessary for our own survival. Running through the story of Noah, as written in the Bible and recently told in the epic film of the same name, is a strong thread of trust. Now, if you've seen the recent film, you may well, like me, have returned home wondering how much the script had stuck to the Bible account and how much was fantasy. In the film, there were these giant creatures that descended from the sky, looking like huge molten lava animals, cross between animals and humans, really, resembling something out of the Lord of the Rings. At first, they seemed to depict evil, but transformed as the film developed into the defenders of Noah and his family, saving them from the marauding masses who attempted to overrun the ark. All very Hollywood, I thought, until I looked into some of my Old Testament commentaries and discovered that chronologically the film differed from the biblical story, but much of it was an interpretation of what was actually written in Genesis and the book of Numbers, which we don't read very often, I don't think. The huge molten lava creatures in the film are called Nephilim in Genesis 4 and described as the heroes of old, men of renown. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, in chapter 13, which describes the Israelites' explorations into Canaan, the Israelites tell Moses and Aaron that they saw the Nephilim there, who were the descendants of Anak, come from Nephilim. And that to the Nephilim, the Israelites looked like grasshoppers. So the writers of the film Noah knew their Old Testament better than I did. Not too difficult, perhaps. However, I do have to question their depiction of Noah's family. In particular, only one of his sons takes a wife into the ark. But the emphasis on trust was retained, as Noah, powerfully played by Russell Crowe, kept his focus on the task of building the ark in the face of extreme adversity in order to save his own family and to each of creatures on earth. As he did so, as I watched the film, the thought struck me, which hadn't struck me before, how dreadfully smelly the ark would have been. Then members of his family in the film went through the ark waving incense. I'm not sure if that's in the Bible or not. I couldn't find it in my research. But obviously it resonated with me because of this smell. And they also put all the animals to sleep, which I thought was very wise because it would have been very noisy. Perhaps it wouldn't be so smelly if they were asleep. I don't know. It's quite interesting. But whether we regard the story of Noah as fact or fiction, within it are many truths about life, one of which is the need to trust others and God. Stephen, one of the seven disciples chosen to take care of the widows who were being neglected, is described as a man full of God's grace and power, who did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. And he clearly put his trust in God and the words of Jesus we heard this morning. As he spoke of his faith in Jesus, he was accused of blasphemy, which led to his agonizing death by stoning. Sadly, in some countries, this is still the fate today for those Christians accused of blasphemy and women accused of adultery. Stephen's strength came from his absolute trust in what Jesus did, said, and promised to those who believed in him. Such strength that he was able to echo Jesus' own words of forgiveness for his executors. Trust works two ways. God trusts Noah. Noah trusts God. Jesus trusts his disciples. His disciples trust him. But what of us who endeavour to trust in what Jesus did, said and promised to those who believed in him? When and where might we struggle to have the depth of Stephen's faith and trust? How do we retain this trust as we journey through the sorrows and joys of life? Speaking from my own personal experience and those of others I know, it's not always easy to trust unreservedly in others, Jesus, or God. My childhood memories are dim, but I believe I was surrounded by those I could trust and had a child's trust in the God of creation and Jesus as a friend. Adult life has been more challenging, especially trusting in Jesus and God. Reflecting on this, I guess a lack of trust that Jesus will deliver on his promises, particularly promises to care for those I love, to keep them safe and well. This past week, that trust has been put to a test while my son Darren has been in Egypt and particularly in Cairo, visiting Christians with a small group from Christchurch, Bedford. In one sense, I felt certain that they would be safe, but there was this niggle in the back of my mind that at present Egypt, and in particular Cairo, can be a very dangerous place. Thankfully, all was well, and thanks to those who prayed while they were there. In various aspects of my ministry, I have frequently prayed for trust that God will provide me with the time and inner resources needed to meet the demands of all he calls me to do in his name. Thankfully, I also trust in the prayers and trust of others, without which I could not exercise my ministry. Trust's greatest test comes perhaps at the end of life. Trust that Jesus' promises become reality. Trust that he has gone to prepare a place for us, that he will come back and take us to the place he has prepared. Trust that he will be with us always until the end of time. Deep and abiding trust that he told the truth about God, about himself, and their deep and everlasting love for us all. Reading and rereading passages such as today's from John 14, praying through these passages is another way of reaching a point of trust such as Noah's, Stephen's, and Jesus's. I pray that as we journey through life together, through the workings of the Holy Spirit, we may encourage one another to trust one another, Jesus the Son and God the Father. Amen.